When writers finish writing a book, they may think they've had the last word, but sometimes another writer will decide there's more to the story and try to fill in the blanks with their own version. Grace Poole, the nurse from Jane Eyre, and the father character in the book Little Women, are two examples of secondary characters who've been given a fuller life in a work of fiction that's based on a classic novel. NPR's Lynn Neary takes a look at several books now following this tradition.
Joe Baker is a big fan of Pride and Prejudice, but there was something about the book that bothered her. The servants. What? You don't remember any servants in Pride and Prejudice? Right. That's what bothered Baker. The servants were so invisible, and she just knew someone was washing all those muddy petticoats.
There was a line in Pride and Prejudice that just stopped me dead, and I couldn't get past it on one of my rereadings. And it was that period leading up to the Netherfield Ball, when it's just been raining for days and days. And there's no way the Bennet girls are going to venture out into the muddy roads, but they need these decorations for their dancing shoes. And the line is, "The very shoe roses for Netherfield were got by proxy." And I just thought, who's proxy?
Baker may have been more sensitive to this than most people, but with good reason. Her relatives, including her grandmother, had been in service. So she wanted to know more about the other people in the room who were standing by, waiting to pick up the clothes, do the laundry, cook the meals. Longbourn, the novel that grew out of that curiosity, is not a cute upstairs-downstairs kind of thing. Now it is the Bennets who are largely invisible, while the servants have complicated, messy, interesting lives that are every bit as compelling as the Bennet girls' quest for husbands.
It was important for me emotionally that they have their own lives and that they have their own stories. For me, the events of Pride and Prejudice have an influence on what's going on, and there are these movements up and downstairs, but it was very important for me that these characters who are silent presences in Austen actually got to be active, dynamic, and fully realized in their own right.
That impulse to find out more about minor or secondary characters has inspired many books over the years. Baker took on characters that most readers would barely notice, but some writers decide to fill in the blanks for characters who have become literary icons. Ronald Frame did just that in Havisham, a novel based on the strange and mysterious Miss Havisham of Charles Dickens' Great Expectations.
I didn't want to clutter the book up with references that you needed to understand by going back to Great Expectations. I just wanted to give Miss Havisham back her youth.
Frame says his own image of Miss Havisham has been influenced by the many portrayals of her in movies and on television, especially David Lean's 1946 film adaptation. When young Pip first meets her, Miss Havisham, left at the altar on her wedding day many years before, is living in a darkened room, dressed in her wedding gown and surrounded by the trappings of that ill-fated day.
Come close. Look at me. You're not afraid of a woman who has never seen the sun since you were born?
No.
You know what I touch here?
Your heart.
Broken.
The Miss Havisham in this film is old, but in fact, Frame says, she was probably only in her 30s, and Dickens provided her with a fairly rich backstory. The Catherine Havisham Frame creates is a combination of the given facts and his own imagination. She is the daughter of a wealthy widowed brewer who sends her to live with an upper-class family to be educated and introduced to society. But Catherine falls in love with the wrong man. Heartbroken and bitter, she raises her adopted daughter Estella to break men's hearts. Frame says he wrote the book so Catherine Havisham could tell her side of the story.
What I felt we had in The Great Expectations was Pip's version of the story. I was also, of course, just fascinated to know why Miss Havisham, Catherine Havisham, as I called her, who seemed to have everything going for her, why she turned into this character.
Frame's book is set in Dickens' world, but his language is modern and spare, a far cry from the dense, descriptive writing of Great Expectations. Daniel Levine took a different tack in the forthcoming novel, Hyde, which is based on The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson.
My interest was actually in keeping to the original as much as possible, because what interested me was the things that Stevenson left out. Because I sensed that Stevenson wanted to say more.
In telling Hyde's story, Levine had an added challenge, since Jekyll and Hyde are two sides of the same person who have come to embody the very idea of good and evil. But Levine says it's not that simple.
The story is not really about Jekyll, who is pure good, and Hyde, who is pure evil. Jekyll does many things in the Stevenson version that are very suspect and very self-destructive. And so we know that Jekyll is not pure good. So by default, we know that Hyde is not pure evil. And in my version, you know, I was really trying to make him a real person.
All three authors say their books can stand on their own, but Jo Baker adds, as much as she loves the characters and stories she has created, they would not exist without the original.
It just emerged so organically out of the world of Pride and Prejudice that I don't think I could have written it in any other way. There was this itch I needed to scratch. That's what this book came from, so it wouldn't have got written.
There is one thing no one will ever know about these books, whether the original authors approve of what has happened to their creations or not. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.